Welcome to r/ProRevenge, where OP completely ruins a cheater's life. Our next Reddit post is from Von Schranhammer. This was back in 2013 when I was based in Holland. I'm a British Marine, for context. I had been married to my wife for a little over 18 months when I deployed to Afghanistan. My wife had a job in the British delegation on base, and she got to know pretty much every Brit and their husband and wife. One day, we were directly targeted by a vehicle-borne IED. Now, while it wasn't uncommon for there to be a threat to coalition forces in general, being directly targeted felt more personal for obvious reasons. That was also the day that I found out about a Royal Air Force guy back in Holland who tried to get it on with my wife. I found him on Facebook, and still feeling rather raw about someone trying to blow me up, I messaged him. "If you go near my wife again, I'll put glass in your throat the next time I see you." The next day, one of my bosses, who's also Royal Air Force, messaged me on Facebook to say the guy had been over to his office and basically tattled on me. He gave me a friendly warning slash heads up that this guy could have gone to the military police and reported me. I have no idea what would have happened, but I acknowledged the warning and said it won't happen again. Luckily, my boss had my back. Fast forward to when I got back from Afghanistan. A few days had passed, and I was starting to settle into a new normal life again. My wife brought up that an Army Sergeant Major had tried to message her via Facebook. He told her that she was beautiful and he wanted her phone number. She promptly blocked him. I was pissed off to say the least, but I understood why she kept that a secret until I was back on home soil. The next day I went into our department and spoke to my other boss, an Army Captain. I told him what had happened, and he said leave it with me. He basically had a chat with the guy, and nothing came of it. I felt deflated and even more pissed off. That was until our senior military officer came into our department. He welcomed me back and asked how my tour was. Still pissed off, I said, "It was good, sir, with the exception of Sergeant Major Douchebag trying to get around on my wife." He was, understandably, a little taken aback. About an hour or so later, he emailed me saying that he feels the need to do something official about this. Something I had forgotten was that this colonel and Sergeant Major Douchebag belonged to the same regiment, so having one of his own behave like this had clearly gripped him. I told him the full story, and I provided screenshots of what Sergeant Major Douchebag had said to my wife. For this to go official, my wife had to provide a statement. Unfortunately, my wife is very non-confrontational, and she said that she didn't want this to continue. I respected her wishes, but I hatched a plan that would be 3 years in the making. The timing is important. I emailed the colonel and I said that my wife declined. However, I felt the need for some formal recognition, so I asked that Sergeant Major Douchebag write a letter of apology addressed to both my wife and I, which is to be signed and dated. This was granted, and I received the letter 2 days later. The letter said, "Dear OP and Mrs. OP, I'm writing this letter to you both to apologize for the torment and anxiety that you must have felt from the messages that you received from my Facebook account. To Mrs. OP, nobody should ever be in a situation where they worry about going to work because of who may come through the door, especially so when they have the added stress of a partner being operationally deployed at the time. This anguish that you must have felt at this time is immeasurable, and for this, I apologize. To OP, being operationally deployed is stressful enough without the added stress and worry about family back home. Support from home and loved ones is what carries many people through tough times while on tour. For any undue angst I caused, I apologize. I regret any hurt and anguish caused by this issue and apologize wholeheartedly and unreservedly to you both. Signed, Sergeant Major Douchebag." And now, I waited. I saw out the rest of my time in Holland, moved back to the UK to my new base, and waited some more. Almost 3 years after I received the apology letter, I looked up Sergeant Major Douchebag's wife on Facebook. I knew the whole time that we were out there that he was married. His wife lived back in the UK, and he has routinely tried to cheat on her. I sent his wife the same screenshot that I had sent the colonel. Also, before leaving Holland, I printed off the emails between my colonel and myself where I requested the apology letter. I sent her pictures of that. And then, lastly, I sent a picture of the apology letter, signed and dated by her husband, admitting what he had done. Once I saw that she had read it, I blocked her, blocked Sergeant Major Douchebag, and all of his friends who had been out in Holland at the same time. Why 3 years, you wonder? I remember him saying, before he turned into a douchebag and tried to get it on with my wife, that he only had 3 years left to serve. If my timing was correct, he was months away from completing his 22 years and receiving a very nice pension. If his wife decided to go ahead with divorce, she would take half of that pension, which would essentially screw him over for the rest of his life. Our next Reddit post is from Son Don't Play. My grandpa was a successful businessman, and in his mid-60s, he decided he wanted to take a step back, so he started selling off his businesses. He sold his various businesses and spent the next few years traveling. As he approached 70, he got bored, so in addition to having a few new grandkids, he needed a bigger house. He sold the old home that he had bought after he got back from Vietnam, and he bought this massive house on this large piece of land. The property also came with a massive steel barn. I'm not sure if he ever told anyone about his plans, but right after he got the property, he dumped a ton of money into tools and equipment and converted his barn into a mechanic's dream. Some things that I remember him having. He had a professional lift, capable of lifting full-size trucks. He had those professional oil catchers that you see at Quick Lubes. He had a dedicated air compressor system that was designed to power all of his power tools. He had a tire machine to mount new tires. He had so much equipment. His tool corner took up a massive corner of this already massive barn. His plan was to fix cars, especially for people in need. He lived in a rural community, and if he didn't have a car, that was a big problem. So he let everyone know at his local church that he was willing to work on their cars if they provided the parts. He only took a few jobs a week. He was doing this to enjoy himself and help those who needed it. He would, of course, change the oil, change the transmission fluid, and make all kinds of various repairs. My grandpa was a talented mechanic. However, he kept the amount of work limited. He was also selective. If you were in need, he would want to fix your cars. If you had the means to pay, he would decline and ask you to go elsewhere. One day, the owner of the local car dealership came by and told my grandpa he had to stop fixing other people's cars because he wasn't properly licensed, he didn't have proper insurance, and it was hurting his business. My grandpa explained that this is just his hobby, he only does a few cars a week. The owner told him that he needs to cut it out or he's gonna sue my grandpa out of business. My grandpa said he laughed over this. What business was this guy gonna sue him out of? The owner walked out, and a little while later, my grandpa got served with a lawsuit. He was being sued by the owner of the car dealership. My grandpa thought he would take a trip down to the dealership to try to reason with the man. My grandpa hoped that he could come to an understanding. My grandpa spoke to the owner and basically explained that he only works on people's cars who are down on their luck. The fact is, the people whose cars he fixed probably couldn't afford to pay a professional dealership to fix the vehicle anyway. Also, he only does a few cars a week, and he's not all that interested in getting into a fight over his hobby, but he's not gonna back down. Well, they ended up in court. By this point, my grandpa had hired a lawyer who was able to get the city to approve a commercial garage on his property. It helped that he lived on the outskirts of town and had 6 acres of property. The court told my grandpa that his auto repair shop was operating illegally. If my grandpa wants to continue, he's gonna need to get a business license, get the proper insurances, and if he does that, he'll be good to go. Now, what do you think a man who has nothing but time and money in this situation is gonna do? He's gonna get his business license and insurance, of course. Which he did, and that surprised no one, but he went further. He got a dedicated phone line run to his shop. He hired a full-time mechanic. He put up a professional sign, and he set up a little waiting area with a water cooler. What shocked everyone even more was that he ran a local TV ad saying that he was a pay-what-you-can mechanic shop that ran on reservations only. He put ads in the local papers saying the same thing. Yes, folks, that's right. My grandpa isn't only a licensed, legal auto repair business. He has a certified mechanic on his payroll, and he's running ads. As for his prices, they were quite simple. You either bring the parts yourself and you pay the mechanic whatever you wanted, or you had my grandpa source the parts, and he would charge you the price of the parts, and you would pay the mechanic whatever you want. My grandpa started taking jobs, and boy did that shop get busy. It was impossible to beat grandpa's price. My grandpa was essentially paying to fix your car for you. My grandpa would spend his days with the mechanic that he hired working on cars. He loved it. The owner of the local car dealership was furious, and he sued my grandpa again. They went to court, and the judge basically said that my grandpa owned a licensed, insured auto repair business. What he charges his customers for his services is completely up to him. even if that means doing his work for free. About a year or so later, my grandpa gets a call from a lawyer who says that he's representing a potential buyer of the local car dealership. However, the buyer wants to speak to my grandpa. My grandpa agreed, and he sat down with a new potential buyer who expressed his concerns about buying the dealership. Service is a major profit center for a dealership, and he's considering buying the local dealership. However, he doesn't want to buy the dealership if my grandpa is going to keep operating the way he is. Because it's impossible for a for-profit business to compete against someone selling their services for free. My grandpa agreed. There was no way someone looking to make a profitable business could ever compete against him. So they came to an agreement. The owner would buy the dealership, and my grandpa would only work on a few cars a week, maybe 5 or 6. He would only work on the cars of people who are down on their luck and probably too poor to be able to pay a professional dealership to fix their car. Any parts he needs, he'll buy from the dealership, and any work he declined, he'd refer to the dealership. The new owner of the dealership agreed to just let my grandpa be, and he must hire his mechanic. They shook hands, and the local dealership was bought out. And for the next 9 years, my grandpa would fix people's cars who were down on their luck, and if he had to buy parts, he would buy from the dealership. And as for that mechanic my grandpa hired, he ended up becoming the service manager and did quite well for himself. As for my grandpa, when he was 80, he had a heart attack in his shop. Luckily, one of his grandkids was there, and they got him to a hospital and he made a full recovery. But his doctor told him that his body couldn't handle working in that garage anymore. He ended up shutting down after that, and for the next 3 years, he looked out his kitchen window staring at the shop, remembering all the fun he had in his garage. He passed away at 83, surrounded by friends and family. Our next Reddit post is from Midnight Slayer. When I was a naive 24-year-old, I met a charming, smart, way older man. We'll call him Jake for this story. His sister is Dana, and I'm Gina. Jake was 42, recently divorced, or so he told me, and he had a kid that he would see on the weekends. We met online through a poetry website where we both used to write. He was very aloof and stern in his comments, and not very popular on the website, because he used to always come off like an arrogant prick. But I really liked his poems regardless of his personality, and that's how it all began. I commented on one, and he instantly PM'd back, praising me on my writing and asking me if we could collaborate on a duet together. I've already done that type of thing 1,000 times with a few friends and people on the site that I respected, so I said sure. So, long story short, we met up on Hotmail Messenger. This was nearly 11 years ago, kids, so no WhatsApp, although we did chat on Facebook too. This will become relevant later. Long story short, we instantly connected. He was funny, handsome, and really sweet underneath all his bravado. Also, his dark sense of humor was right up my alley. We spent months pulling all-nighters, just talking and writing together. Not humble bragging, but I was pretty popular on the site because I won a few awards, so by association, he became popular too. People started reading Jake's poems and commenting, and obviously, he got a huge ego boost from it, but I digress. Our relationship became more serious after he confessed that he was falling for me, and I was smitten, so I went along with it. We talked about my recent breakup, and he assured me that he would never lie to me because his witch of an ex-wife cheated on him, and he was devastated until he met me. I was shocked to hear about how bad his ex was, but I assured him that I was all in, and I meant that. One important detail about our turbulent romance is that he was in South America, where he's from, and I was still living in Italy in my hometown. So, after 2 years of excuses for how tied up at work he was, I decided to surprise him with a visit. I bought my ticket, and it was literally like a dream. He picked me up, we kissed, hugged, and he took me to his beach house, which should have been my first red flag, but I was dumb, young, and in love. He said that it would be so much easier and fun for me to do touristy stuff on a beach port, rather than staying in his suburbs house with no car. He said that since I gave him such short notice, that he didn't have the time or means to take time off, which, again, was a blatant lie because he was one of the partners of the company. But, again, I bought it and off I went on my own for almost the entire week that I was there. He only spent one night with me, and for the rest of the week, he would just pick me up from wherever it was that I ended up wandering off to. We would hang out for a few hours, passionately hug, and then he would just drop me off at his beach house. I know what most of you are thinking. Come on, OP, just get your head out of your butt and realize what a bunch of BS this is. And believe me, now that I'm writing this, I realize how much of an idiot I was. But it gets better. The day before I have to go back to Italy, he took me to dinner with his 6-year-old son and his sister. I was super happy to meet his family and son, but he caught me off guard when he introduced me as his friend from Italy who was visiting on vacation. His sister was super sweet, albeit a bit awkward, and his son was adorable. We ate, talked, and off we went. He picked me up first thing in the morning and dropped me off in the airport. Now that you got the full story, I'll get to the good part. 2 days later, and still a bit jet-lagged, I got a very interesting email from his sister, Dana. Her email was short and very simple. Dear OP, I know that you might think that I was weird and maybe a bit rude when we met, but it was only because I was tricked by Jake to join the dinner with his kid. He never mentioned that you guys were dating, but after I confronted Jake, he confessed and he begged not to tell anyone or his marriage would be ruined. But you're such a sweet young girl and you don't deserve his deception. Jake is still married and still lives with his wife. Don't just take my word for it. And then Dana sent me pictures of his real Facebook profile, and surprise, he has a perfect little family. I thanked her and shut down my computer. I was devastated. I really thought that Jake was the love of my life, and I was seriously considering moving there. I spent all night crying and drinking wine until I got myself the worst migraine. But the heartbreak lasted about 12 hours. At 4 a.m., I got up, showered, made a pot of fresh coffee, and started planning my revenge. I was hurt, yes, but also so angry that he not only deceived me, but dragged his sister and his innocent child into his lie. I was on the other side of the world, so I didn't have the money to pay someone to kick his butt or egg his car. But as my Sicilian father would have said to me, if someone slaps you, don't turn the other cheek. Cut off their effing hand. And so I did. Cue my sweet revenge. I sat down at my desk, turned on my computer, and logged into his Hotmail. I didn't have his password, but I knew him well enough to answer his 3 security questions. 1, 2, 3, and bam, I was in. And oh my god. This arrogant piece of filth was not only dating me, but 2 other girls. I quickly logged into his Facebook too, because he had everything linked. So I quickly changed all of his passwords to I'm a prick, and I discovered that his personal email was also connected to his work account. I dug through his emails for 2 hours. This idiot never erased anything, so he had over 5,000 emails. Then I found something very interesting. I found the girls that he was also seeing, and their very hot email exchanges, dick pics included. So, what did I do? You guessed it. I crafted a very lengthy and explicit email with pics and chat logs attached confessing to Jake's wife, posting as him, obviously, begging for forgiveness and declaring how much of an awful person I was. And as proof of his willingness to change and transparency, I was sending this email to his girlfriends too. I said that I only did this because I was a closeted gay person, and I thought that being a player would help me forget how much I really loved guys. That I was sick of pretending, and I hoped that she could move on, and maybe we could be friends. But not only did I send the email to them, I copied his entire list of contacts, including the CEO, the partners of the company where he worked, his parents, and, of course, his sister Dana. This email was perfection. It had all the pictures and chats, including the chats of myself, that he ever exchanged with another woman. I copied myself on the list, obviously as a countermeasure, and moved on to part 2 of my plan. I changed all of his Facebook accounts, declaring, "I am so relieved that people finally know who I am." I made the pride flag his new wall picture, and his profile picture was a Photoshop picture of 2 guys kissing. I created 5 different accounts on gay websites with all of his info, including his phone number, and I started to chat with a bunch of guys until, out of nowhere, this guy sent me, he sent Jake, a message. This guy, Tony, was his old friend from university, and he'd always been secretly lusting after him for years, and although I felt bad for this later, I set up a date. 1 week after this massive internet blowout, his friends and family angrily called Jake all sorts of names, and he got fired because his bosses didn't want the bad press. So, in an attempt to make amends with his family and friends, Jake planned a big barbecue for his birthday. But I would have paid a full year's salary just to see Jake's face and the face of his guests when, in the middle of their celebration, Tony appeared with a bottle of champagne and a bag full of lube and sex toys to celebrate privately, as I asked him. Apparently, he was crying because some psycho wanted to ruin his life. I blocked him and forgot about everything until 6 months ago when, out of the blue, he sent me a message on Instagram asking me why I disappeared and why I didn't support him when he was at his lowest point. And oh boy, the satisfaction I felt when I replied back. Sorry, Jake, but I think everything you got was karma for all the lies you fed me. Good luck. And oh, by the way, it was always me. I then blocked him and set my account to private. Jake did try to call a few mutual friends to try to get them to give him my number, but they ignored him. They also got the infamous email. So, yeah, I got my revenge, and it was worth every single hour. I know, I'm effing petty. That was r/prorevenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.